The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church.
Welcome to Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
I'd like to give you a couple of terms you may or may not know that will affect our race in this life of our marathon. I thought this morning as I was listening to the music, someone said years ago on tombstones, there's date of birth, date of death, and a dash in between. We're in the dash between birth and death. Running Magazine recently published an article, What is the Wall and Why Do Runners Hit It? And they define the wall as the dreaded phenomena that usually occurs near the end of the race, when your body seemingly gives up. It can happen to even the most experienced, well-prepared runners. Your body's glycogen stores become depleted, so it no longer has the fuel it needs to continue running, according to Runner's Magazine. Fatigue, weather, poor pacing can cause runners to shuffle or even walk to the finish. And running experts, of course, provide all kind of advice to avoid hitting the wall. Hitting the wall is common to running, and winners anticipate and they plan for it so they don't get caught by it. Running is a marathon, a metaphor for life. And Christians were written to had hit the wall in the race, and the coach, the writer of the book of Hebrews, was trying to reinvigorate them. Another term that affects our race was first used in 2022. You may have heard it. I don't know. It's called quiet quitting. Webster Dictionary defines quiet quitting as doing the minimum requirements of one's job and putting in no more time, effort, or enthusiasm than absolutely necessary. That's where the worker doesn't actually leave their position and continues to collect a salary, and they're quitting the idea of going above and beyond. Employees who are quietly quitting or disengaged at work are less likely to feel motivated to learn new skills. We can hit the wall and we can quietly quit. We can just do a minimum and go through the motions, and our heart really later on in the race isn't quite where it should be. Most of us don't run much. Ultimately, I guess that doesn't matter. But what is essential and totally applicable to all of us is running the marathon is applicable to us. The super apostle, so-called in 2 Corinthians 11, said to Christians in Corinth, I strike a blow to my body. I make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And that might be the prize of receiving rewards when we get to heaven, and not so much salvation. That was last week's sermon, the reward sermon. The term that he used for disqualified, adokimos, means unfit, that which doesn't prove itself. It doesn't pass the test. And that word, disqualified, is used of describing counterfeit money. Paul said, examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize Christ Jesus is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? In Romans 2, Paul says, people who merely listen to God's laws or laws from God don't have God's approval. Rather, people who do what those laws demand will have his approval. Jesus said in Matthew 7, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do what my Father in heaven wants them to do. Runners, especially near the end of the race, want to quit. And what compels champion athletes to keep running when their bodies tell them to stop? Take a rest. You deserve it. The body and the spirit of the runner argue with each other, and one will win. I remembered many years ago, there was a race between a man named Bannister and Landy. They ran against each other in 1952 Olympics, and they were set for a rematch 1954 in Vancouver, Canada. And they had both been the first two that had broken the four-minute mile. They were the fastest runners on Earth. An estimated 10 million North American viewers were breathlessly tuned in for the rematch. Landy, trained in public, Bannister trained in private. And the race of the ages began with Landy in first place, and he set the pace. Bannister was back in fifth place, but he knew that he had an ace card. He was a strong finisher. Both runners had health problems, but this would be the first competition since the 1952 Olympics where Roger Bannister had won and John Landy came in second. Landy was running with a 15-foot lead, and Bannister started gaining. And Landy said later he was wondering, where's Bannister? And then the final bell for the lap rang, and with only a few feet to go, Landy looked back over his left shoulder. Bannister passed him on the right. Bannister won the race again. Woohoo. And after the race, Landy said Bannister ran the race of his life. You know, Jesus said in Luke 9, anyone who starts plowing and keeps looking back isn't worth a thing to God's kingdom. There's so many things that will keep a Christian from the finish line. Paul told Christians in Ephesus, this is not a wrestling match against a human opponent. We're wrestling with rulers, authorities, powers who govern this world of darkness, with spiritual forces that control evil. That's who we're running against. Mark 4, Jesus listed common things that will snatch away the seed, which he defines as the word of God. And he says that in the parable of the four soils. Different things will trip up those who have God's word. Jesus told Paul in Acts 26:18, you are to open the eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. So their faith in me will have through faith in me, they will have their sins forgiven and receive a place among God's chosen people. And Hebrews 12 tells us what to do when we hit the wall or when we just silently want to fade into the background. There's only one more chapter of Hebrews. The writer is going to finish up in Hebrews 13 saying, I beg you, my friends, fellow Christians, listen patiently to this message of encouragement, for this letter I've written to you isn't very long. We're encouraged to stay strong as Christians. He says, take a new grip with your tired hands. Get a grip. That's an idiom. And it means to get a good physical, emotional hold on something. Get a grip. Calm down. Don't be anxious. Control yourself. It was used in the 1940s. Common term for military, meaning to put effort into what you're doing. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Get a grip. And remember, this was written to Christians who were in various stages of quietly quitting, which is a common temptation. When runners are having trouble, one of the signs one of their tells is their arms get lower, their knees begin to wobble as they approach the finish line. The Old Testament used similar terms. Isaiah 35, strengthen limp hands, steady weak knees. Tell those who are terrified, be brave, don't be afraid. Your God will come and rescue you. Job 4 says, you have taught many people, given strength to feeble hands. When someone stumbled weak and tired, your words encouraged him to stand. Zephaniah 3:16, time is coming when they'll say to Jerusalem, don't be afraid, city of Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. They were pooped. Exhaustion, fear, complacency sets in, and then Satan redoubles his attacks to get God's people to give up. There's a statement at the end of a poem called Unashamed. It was written by Bob Moorhead many years ago, where he says, I won't give up, shut up, let up, or burn up until I preached up, prayed up, paid up, stored up, worked up, and stayed up for the cause of Christ. I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I walk in good company. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I must go until he comes, give until I drop, preach until all know, stay until all go, work until he stops, and when he comes to get his own, he'll have no trouble recognizing me. That's kind of inspirational. At times, everyone will feel like they can't or they don't want to go on. It could be health or finances, family problems, maybe needing a job or hating the job you have, maybe some other hidden issue. But God leaves us here and has left us here for his own reasons. We're still in the race. On October 29, 1941, Winston Churchill gave this advice. This is the lesson. Never give in, Never give in. Never, 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 never in nothing, great or small, large or petty. Never give in except to the convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. That was Winston Churchill. And the Bible says, take a new grip with your tired hands. Stand firm on shaky legs. Mark out a straight, smooth path for your feet so that those who follow you, though weak and lame, will not fall and hurt themselves but become strong. And those, there are a lot of people who are following us and watching us, whether we know it or not. One poem says, walk a little plainer, Daddy. Said a little boy so frail, I'm following in your footsteps and I don't want to fail. Sometimes your steps are very plain, sometimes they're hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for you're leading me. I know you once walked this way many years ago. What you did along the way, I'd really like to know. For sometimes when I'm tempted, I don't know what to do, so walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. Someday when I'm growing up, you're like I want to be. Then I'll have a little boy who'll want to follow me. I would want to lead him right and help him to be true, so walk a little plainer, Daddy, for we must follow you. Straighten your paths of your life so that your lameness may not become worse, the Hebrew writer says. And much of the advice in Hebrews is familiar to the Jewish Christians he was talking to because they came right out of the Old Testament. Like this quote comes out of Proverbs chapter 4, look straight ahead, that says. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Because you know what an ounce of prevention is worth? A pound of cure. It means it's better to avoid problems in the first place than try to fix them once they're already there.
This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of SCW Christian Church. To help keep this programming on the air, please go to scwcc.org or mail your contributions to SCWCC, 2803 North 151st Avenue, Sun City West, Arizona, 85375.
Keep your eyes straight ahead. Avoid temptation. The writer says if you're already lame or vulnerable in some way, stay away from anything or anyone that's going to make it worse. And many of the Bible warnings, of course, say the same thing, like Ephesians 5, have nothing to do with worthless things that people do. Such things belong to the darkness. Or 1 Corinthians 15, stop being deceived. Wicked friends lead to evil ends. Or 1 Thessalonians 5, stay away from every kind of evil. These will trip us up. 1 Peter 3, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their prayers, but the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. And Jesus said that it's a small gate, a straight way that leads to eternal life. And unfortunately, only few will find it. And though we run with others throughout our life, we help them, we're accountable, though, to God when it's necessary to run alone. Christians run alongside and help other Christians. That's what the church exists for. But Hebrews 3 says, watch your step, friends. Make sure there's no evil unbelief lying around that will trip you up and throw you off course, diverting you from the living God. For as long as God's still calling it today, keep each other on your toes. That's what we do in church. Hebrews 4, let us do our best to enter that rest. If we disobey God as the people of Israel did, we will fall. The church exists to encourage one another. If our companions take a wrong path, don't follow them. Proverbs 4 says, don't stray onto the path of wicked people. Don't walk in the way of evil people. Avoid it. Don't walk near it. Turn away and keep on walking. And Proverbs 2, walk in the way of good people. Stay on the path of righteous people. Proverbs 13, he who walks with the wise will become wise. Companions of fools will be destroyed. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. So walk a straight path. Then lame people will be healed instead of getting worse. And this straight path is the Greek word trochaeus, which means a safe path. It's a path made by tracks of wheels that's been cleared of all debris through the years. The tracks we leave behind us are going to be safe or unsafe for those who follow, depending on our decisions. Proverbs 5 says, the Lord sees clearly what a man does, examining every path he takes. And Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm, he gives me new strength, guides me in the paths of righteousness as he's promised. And what churches teach will provide a straight or crooked path for those who follow. In his farewell speech to the Ephesian elders, Paul said, therefore, I declare to you today, I'm not responsible for the spiritual death of any of you. I didn't avoid telling you the whole plan of God. The whole plan of God. So many churches, there's over 200 Christian denominations in America. So many churches have edited the whole plan of salvation, and it's clearly laid out in the Bible. And many churches will omit or underemphasize the Bible where it contradicts their theology or denomination. Many edit God's word to even condone sin. They edit themselves to be woke. They end up spiritually broke. In fact, some huge churches are thinly cloaked Greek pagan temples, statues everywhere, and they left crooked paths for their followers to stumble on. To find the path that leads to righteousness, read your Bible. And as far as what churches are, test them all. Hold on to what's good, reject every kind of evil, and may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sun City West Christian Church teaches unedited Jesus and the whole plan of God. Pursue peace and holiness. That's what our text says. Pursue peace with everyone and holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord. Groups that have a common purpose might live in peace with one another, but those groups are anything but pure and holy. Christ followers should live in peace with everyone, not just other Christians, as far as we can. Do everything possible on your part to live at peace with everybody, Paul says. Many Christians are contentious people. Surprise, surprise. And they find fault with everything and everyone inside and outside of the church. I think they think crabbiness is their spiritual gift. Walmart employees wear shirts that say, how may I help you? But many Christians, if they were honest, would wear a shirt sold at Walmart that says, I'm grumpy, don't make it worse. Peace plus holiness. They're mandatory to getting into heaven and living with God. They go together, in fact. Philippians 4:9, keep practicing these things that you've learned, received, heard, and seen in me. Then the God of peace will be with you. And Jesus combined purity and peace back to back in the Sermon on the Mount, saying, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God, and blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I read one runner's website that says, how many races are won or lost at the finish line? Long sprinters should also practice leaning for the tape. Don't know if you've seen that in pictures before. They say during the last three strides, they must push, push, and dip. They must push hard at the last stride, drop the head, and bend at the waist, and throw the hands back and go past the tape. And then they say, to win the Kentucky Derby, you don't have to beat your competitor by a horse length. You have to simply win by a nose. So we need to keep our nose where it belongs. Strengthen your grip. Stand firm, make your path straight. Pursue peace and holiness. And we're warned about what to avoid in this race. Survival websites talk about how to see danger before it sees you. And they say situational awareness is just a fancy way of saying you know what's going on around you. Keep a wary eye open. And they recommend to perceive, to comprehend and understand and predict problems before they arise rather than try to fix them later. The writer of Hebrews warns Christians, make sure no one falls short of the grace of God. No root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble, defiling many. Don't fall short of grace. Avoid bitterness, trouble, defilement, he says. Make sure, episcope antes, with the key word being scope. It means look intently, carefully, beware, examine, keep a watchful eye out, scope out what's going on around you. Falling short of the grace of God was discussed way back in Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since the promise to enter his rest remains, let us beware that none of you be found to have fallen short. Let us have confidence then and approach God's throne where there is grace, that we will receive mercy and find grace to help us just when we need it. We approach God humbly and we will receive mercy and grace and help, especially when we need it. To run the race, we can't always rely on our own strength. We always have to rely on God's grace to get us through. We're going to run out of strength at some point, and maybe some of us are already there. But Christ gives me victory to face everything. Avoid bitterness, he says in verse 15. Let no one become like a bitter plant that grows up. And bitterness, you know as well as I, takes place and takes over many Christians' lives. Bitterness comes right out of Deuteronomy 29. Make sure there's no man or woman, clan or tribe among you today whose heart turns away from the Lord our God. Make sure there's no root among you that produces such a bitter poison. You know that roots grow under the surface. They're hidden and they feed shoots that come up and spread. And bitterness from Christians in the church spreads like poison to the entire church. He says, avoid impurity. Make sure no one commits sexual sin or is as concerned about earthly things as Esau was. He sold his rights, his firstborn son, for a single meal. You know, afterwards, when he wanted to receive the blessing that the firstborn son was to receive, he was rejected. Even though he begged and cried for the blessing, he couldn't do anything to change what happened. Sexually immoral, from the Greek word porneia, where we get pornography, evil. Sexual sin is so common in the church today. We probably know somebody that is involved, and it gets really uncomfortable because they're our friends. 1 Corinthians 5, though, the Apostle Paul talks about sexual immorality in the church in Corinth. It says in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 2, you should remove this man from your fellowship. Verse 5, you must throw this man out and hand him over to Satan. Verse 7, remove this wicked person from among you. Verse 9, I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin. Verse 11, you're not to associate with anyone who claims to be a believer yet indulges in sexual sin. Don't even eat with such people. Verse 13, you must remove the evil person from among you because they will flaunt their right over their own body. It's none of your business. Well, it is God's business, and they look for sympathizers, and they will gladly split a church. That's a root of bitterness. Esau was given as the example of prioritizing physical appetites over spiritual things. Esau was controlled by instant gratification. If it feels good, his needs and wants and desires came first. The things of God comes last. He didn't care about the consequences of his actions at the time. He married two Canaanite women outside of his faith, and he found out that our relationship with God can be destroyed by foolishness. Don't run with those who are bitter or sexually immoral. You know, afterward, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It's too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. And he would say to us, Esau would, repent and seek the father's blessing now, because we're in a race, and Satan uses every trick in his book to trip us up. He's really expert in that. Paul told Christians in Corinth, and I'll end with this scripture. In 1 Corinthians 10:12, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. God is faithful. He'll not allow temptation to be more than you can stand. When you're tempted, he'll show you a way out so you can endure. So don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give in to what the world says. Instead, get into a Bible study group here at the church. Read your Bible. You can listen to it. It's free on BibleGateway.com while you're driving your car, or have it playing in the background at your house. But never give up. Strive to obey all God's commands out of the motive of love.
This has been Living Strong. Join them at Sun City West Christian Church. They offer a variety of Sunday morning worship services. The 8 a.m. is a blend of new and classic worship songs. The 9:30 a.m. service includes more classical Christian hymns that many were raised on. The newest 11 a.m. service is a bit more contemporary. It's called Live. Live offers new children's programs and the opportunity for you to be included in the band and music of the ministry. Sun City West Christian Church, located at 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Again, that's 20803 North 151st Ave in Sun City West. Head on over to scwcc.org to see what Sun City West Christian Church is all about. That's scwcc.org. Living Strong, brought to you by Sun City West Christian Church.
The preceding program was sponsored by Sun City West Christian Church.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.